when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And these disciples had followed him. He had met them, and you might say they had met him. When they were going about their ordinary everyday activity, they were in the fishing industry, and they were doing their job. And then Jesus came walking, and there was something about him that touched their hearts. And as he talked to these disciples, he had said, come and follow me. You know, and what we're trying to get people to do, even here and in many churches around the world, is get people to do just that. Come and follow Jesus. Don't follow us, but follow this same Jesus that said to those men as they were just going about their daily activity, doing what they've always done, follow Jesus. And there are reasons why he wanted them to follow him. It wasn't because he was just looking for followers, but he knew that he would be good for them. He knew that what they needed in their lives was the Son of God, whose purpose and mission on this earth was to make a way for those who could not find a way, and to open the eyes of those who could not see, and help the understanding to be fruitful for those who could not understand. And so as he said to them, come and follow me, there was something about how he came across, how he touched their lives, that caused them to want to respond to him. And they left all. They left their occupations. They left what they were doing. They left their old way behind and started following after him. They didn't have any promise of what they could receive for it. There was nothing that was, on a contract. In fact, evidently nothing was discussed about how they were going to live. It was just, come and follow me. Now, when an ordinary person walks by and says, come and follow me, you might get yourself in trouble. But Jesus is more than ordinary. He's what everybody needs tonight. And if somebody's pointing you to Jesus saying, let's follow him, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do because Jesus is good for you. Jesus wants you to follow him because it's the right decision to make. Billy Graham and a lot of other ministers' names I could mention all over the land and throughout history have preached a Jesus that wants you to make a decision to turn from where you are and follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus. When we start getting to the point of making that decision, if you hesitate and you don't know for sure which way you ought to go, you're trying to think, well, maybe I shouldn't now, or maybe it's not the thing to do. Drop all of that. None of that's good for you. The only answer when it comes to Jesus Christ is yes, 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 yes. Whatever he asks of you, say yes, because it's the best thing for you. Because he cares for you. He loves you. And what he wants to lead you into, it may take you down a pathway where there will be problems. There may be some strong winds blowing. There may be some times of sickness. There may be some times of pain. There may be even some times of hunger. But you'll get over it. You'll get past it. Because Jesus will not let it go on forever. If he's with you, he will not forsake you. And if you'll stick with him, there will be some food, somehow, some way that you will receive before you starve to death. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he cares about you. And if you're thirsty, if you will follow him, even if it's in the driest place, if you don't know how you're going to make it because you're so thirsty, I'm talking about your soul is thirsty. You're needing something to cause that whatever it is that's wrong with you that you don't know how to put your finger on it, to cause that to ease. That's called thirsting after something. You know, people thirst after things. They get to where they've got to have something, and they turn to different things. But not everything you turn to is good for you. But when you turn to Jesus, He is good for you. It's the right thing to do. Amen. And so He says to these people, come and follow Me. There are many places in the Word of God where Jesus desires that people would praise Him. And there are skeptics around the land who say, well, why would Jesus ask for people to praise? Why does He have to have so much praise? What a lot of people don't understand is when you praise God, good things happen in your life. It's not that He has to have your praise, but we need to find ourselves praising Him. Because in praising Him, walls come tumbling down. Praise God. In praising Him, problems that could not be solved, suddenly you find a solution to those problems. When you're praising Him, according to the Word of God, it says He inhabits the praises of His people. In other words, as He's drawing praise out of you, you're drawing healings out of Him. As He's drawing praise out of you, you're drawing answers to your problems out of Him. As He's drawing praise out of you, you're drawing financial situations covered out of Him. When He's drawing praise out of you, those loved ones you've been concerned about, suddenly they start getting better. They start acting better. They start doing better. Why? Because you're praising Him. And He's smiling upon you and He's blessing you. And He wants to bless everything that affects your life. You can cause your mom and dad to be blessed just by praising God. You can cause things to go better in your neighborhood just by praising God. You know, the Bible says, they that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Another writer wrote about this same thing when Jesus walked on the water, and the man whose name was Peter was in the boat with these disciples, and Jesus was seen out there walking in the water. These disciples became fearful, and they doubted, and they were thinking, it's a spirit. But you see, as you read the Word of God, you read where we're instructed to try the spirits. And so Peter was brave enough to go ahead and try that spirit. They had decided it must be a ghost, it must be a spirit. But Peter called out and said, Lord, if that's You, let me walk on the water too. Invite me to come out where You are. You don't have to have a highway to get to Jesus. You don't have to have a pathway to get to Jesus. In fact, you don't have to have anything that makes sense to get to Jesus. All you need to get to Jesus is Jesus. He was there. Now, it wasn't just a nice little calm sea. It was not just a little, just a real smooth day where maybe just under the surface there was a stone that he could stand on. But he was walking on a stormy sea. He was walking on waves that were dashing up and down and wind that was blowing very hard. It's difficult to walk on land in the middle of a storm like that. But he was walking on the sea that was tossing with waves. And these disciples saw him walking in the midst of that storm. And they said, it must be a spirit. It must be a spirit. You know, the shadows of evening were there. And it was getting dark. And in fact, it was dark. And probably just maybe a little silhouette with a moon off in the distance. Or maybe just totally dark. But you could just see him a little bit out there. Just something going on. There's a spook out there. But these guys had left all to follow Jesus. And if they ever needed the Lord before, they sure didn't need Him now. Because when you wake up in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, they didn't just wake up, but they came to an awareness. If you wake up in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, and the wind is blowing and everything's going out of control, and you don't know what to do, and you look out, and there's something walking on the water out there, walking on the sea, walking on the ocean, walking on the river. I don't care if it's water. You're not supposed to walk on water. So, must be a ghost. Knees knocking. Hearts beating fast. We're about to die and everything's just going wrong for us, and all of a sudden now a ghost is coming at us. what next? But they had learned enough in following Jesus that He is the master of every kind of situation that can come up in your life. And somehow, I believe Peter knew if that was Jesus out there on that water, if He would say, "Come unto me," that he would be able to get there no matter what was between that boat and where he was. And that is true. When you've seen Jesus heal people, when you've seen Jesus raise people from the dead, when you followed him and he supplied your need and he's been able to do things, feed the multitudes and things that are just mind-boggling, then certainly if you can believe that's him out there, you can also believe he can do something incredible right now to make this happen for you. So Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, let me come out there where you are." And he said, "Come, come." Amen. Come. What would you do if you were out here on the ocean, for instance? Maybe you took one of these fishing vessels down here that they, you know, I went out on that, that hailed boat, some kind of Hellcat. I went out on the Hellcat. I caught a bunch of fish on that thing. But suppose you went out on, say, the Hellcat or one of those other fishing boats down at New London, and you decided, and they take you out, you know, a few miles out into the ocean there, and you start fishing. Here comes a real dark cloud, and all of a sudden, the anchor doesn't hold, and the ship just bouncing, and you find yourself seasick, and nobody knows what to do, and everybody's just frantic, you know. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of all that, you see a person out there on those waves, just going up and down with the waves, walking as if everything's just all right. That would be scary enough, but when he says to you, after you've inquired, "Is that the Lord?" with your shaky voice, "Yeah, come on out here where I am." It takes a lot of faith to step off of something that you're used to standing on, to take a step into the impossible waters that will not support a person standing on the top, especially in the midst of a storm. Even if the boat was tossing, it was still more secure than just walking on that water. And whatever thoughts would go through your mind at a time like that, it probably went through Peter's mind. But something was going on in Peter's life because he had some experience with this Jesus. So much experience that he believed that if he would invite him out there in the midst of this storm, he would cause that water to support his feet walking on top of those waves. Amen. But still, it took a lot of courage. I'm going to tell you something. From where you are to where you want to be, there may be a really tough thing for you to go through. It may take a big decision in your life. You may not be able. But remember this. Oh, how much he cares. The reason Peter felt like he would be safe and secure if he would just turn loose of where he was and do what he was invited to do by Jesus is because he knew that Jesus loved him. Hallelujah. Jesus loved him. And Jesus loves you. And he may not be asking you to walk on water, but he may be asking you to do the impossible. Because let me tell you something. It's impossible for a human being who is deep in sin to be righteous, clean, and pure. That's just absolutely impossible. But Jesus said, "Come on over here. Let's do it anyway. Let me make you clean. Let me give you a new beginning. Let me give you a new start in life. No matter how old you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been through, you're never too old to become a baby again. It's called being born again. It's a new birth experience. It's more than saying, 'I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.' It's more than a confession with the mouth and a believing in the heart That's all necessary. But there's more involved in believing than just saying, I believe. There has to be that something that when you realize that's really who He is, it's Jesus, you believe it. Are you willing to turn loose of what you're going through and go out there to Him so He that loves you so much can make you to be what it is that you were intended to be? Pure, holy, free, happy, full of courage and faith and freedom to do great things. Hallelujah. Come unto me, Jesus says. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you. Say it again. Oh, how much He cares. Oh, how much He cares. Oh, how much He cares. When Peter went out to go meet Jesus, suddenly he found himself walking on the water just like Jesus was. He was doing the impossible. That is no more impossible than you leaving a life of sin and becoming a real child of God. There ain't nothing any harder than that. But if you do it right, it's the easiest thing you could ever find to do. Because things that are impossible with man are simply, absolutely doable by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You read through these scriptures and all these episodes, these disciples following Jesus around, the leprous man, leprosy all over his body, unclean skin falling from his bones, having to warn people to stay away because you'll catch this dreadful disease I've got. I'm a leper, I'm unclean, and suddenly here's Jesus in his pathway. And there's something about Jesus caused that leper to cry out, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What did Jesus say? He said, I will. I will. Why did He say that? Because He loved that leprous man. No matter how bad your sickness, no matter how ugly, no matter what you're going through, no matter how sorry it seems, He cares about you. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Leprosy is a disease that cannot be cured. It's impossible. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What did Jesus say? I will. Then what did He have that leprous man to do? Hey, just stand there and be clean. That's it. Because Jesus did it. I will be clean. And the Bible says suddenly that man didn't have leprosy anymore. His leprosy was gone. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When you study the scriptures, when you're following Jesus and you're studying the scriptures, you learn that leprosy is an illustration of a person who has sin in their life. Sin is contagious. Sin is something that if people get around you and you're a sinner, it will probably affect them in a bad way. Amen. Sin is the worst thing that can happen in your life, and there is no contact, there's no connection between righteousness and sin, between holiness and sin. God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. God hates sin, but God is on your side if sin has invaded your life. And He did not hate that leper just because he had leprosy. But He hated the leprosy and He loved the leper. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I will. That was impossible, but He did it anyhow. I will be clean. And suddenly the man no longer was contaminating everybody around him. Imagine your life if you're unclean, if you're a sinner, if you're a sinner and you got a bad mind, bad thoughts, a bad heart, you're corrupt, you know you're evil, you've always been able to do all kinds of terrible things, but you couldn't do anything right, you can't read the Bible, you can't go to church, you can't enjoy preaching or singing, it bothers you, something upsets you about it all. Imagine what it would be like to change from the way you are to one that can't get enough preaching, can't get enough of this Holy Ghost singing. Can't get enough of this hallelujah, praise God stuff.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Don't you want to get in on it? I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot better to face the future with Jesus in your life because He loves you than that other rascal that doesn't care a hoot about you that you're following now. Why do you want to follow such an ornery outfit that'll make promises and break them every one? It'll cause you heartbreak, grief, and pain, and misery. He says, follow me, do what I tell you. And then He just laughs at you as you hurt yourself. But Jesus says, come unto me, and I'll heal you. I'll set you free. I'll make you happy. I'll give you hope. I'll establish faith in your life. I'll cause you to believe for the impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on out here where I am.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Peter turned loose what he had hold of, which was out of control anyhow. The old boat was not really very steady right then. Just like a lot of your lives. Isn't it about time to leave that old ship and it's a little out of control way. I'm talking about just leave the way you are and go ahead and step into something that you've never tried before.
Yes, sir.
Step off into this impossible water where Jesus wants to bless you because He cares so much about
right.
you. He wants you. And if you can just somehow make yourself turn loose of the way it's been, and even without knowing how it's going to be, just know that He is better than anything else you had in your life. Trust Him. Trust Him. And He will take you into good places. Amen. Praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. I'm going to close my Bible. A little boy asks his daddy, what does it mean when the preacher closes the Bible? His dad say, absolutely nothing. You know, it makes you feel kind of good. It's like, God, maybe He'll quit yelling so much here in a minute. Quit bothering me so much. No, I close my Bible because I know that in just a moment I'm going to invite you out there, you in here, to draw closer to the Lord. Some of us have been going to church for years. We're not really where we want to be. We've been following Jesus, but still there's some waters between here and where we want to be that are tossing and churning, and our lives have been affected, and we've been pushed this way and pushed that way. And we just need to believe again that He is our best friend, that He really does care. Amen. And you just need to get your mind off of the elements. You see what happened to Peter as you study about him, how he went, turned loose of that ship that was out of control, went walking on the water, and everything was going fine. He was actually doing this. Like a lot of people, they start out to live for Jesus, and they're actually able to do it because He is the one that provides the strength. He's the one that holds them up, causes you to be able to do that that you could not ordinarily do. And they find themselves walking with Him, and oh, it's so nice. It's so nice. Can you imagine what it would feel like to not have to sink when you're walking on the sea? Just walking on the sea. Well, Peter was doing that, and he knew that was Jesus. Nobody could do that unless it was God doing a miracle. And so here he goes walking on that water toward Jesus. But then he got his mind on the natural side of things. He started noticing those big old waves again. He started feeling that hard wind hitting his body again. And he started probably thinking, look what I'm doing. Because he was a human being. I mean, that's the way we think. Woo, look at this. Man. He probably really felt really exalted for a moment. But God has a way of just humbling you down. Because just as He can lift you up on top of the impossible waters, He can also, just for a moment, let you do it your way. And you'll find out, without Him, we would surely fail. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus for one moment and got his mind on the things going on around him, and suddenly he went under. He went down. Because that's all we can do when we try to walk on water. That's back to the old way. I mean, what could he do about it? Just splash and beg for help. It's exactly what he did. He knew that somebody still up on top of that water still cared about him. And he cried out, this man who had been walking on the water, like some of you have been walking on the water, he cried out as he was about to drown, Lord, save me! Lord, save me! Probably a lot louder than I'm saying it right now. I mean, I got loud one night when I was 6 years old inside an accordion case my sister had locked me up in. I mean, she was just 2 years old and I was six. But she locked me up in that accordion case because I dared her to get into it and let me lock her up. She wouldn't do it. She said, me don't want to do that. And I said, come on, Brenda, let me put you in that accordion case and I'll just fasten it for a minute, then I'll let you out, okay? She said, no, me don't want to do that. I said, it won't hurt you. I was just like a little devil. Just like a little devil. Come on, that's the way I operate. It's not going to hurt you. Let me fasten you up. Let me put you in the dark. Let me cause you to be in a place where you can't squirm. It'll only be for a moment. Come on, Brenda. Come on. She said, me don't want to. And I said, well, and this is where, you know, the devil's always stupid. I said, well, if I do it first, will you let me put you in there? Me will do that. She said, me will do that. 2 years old, smart enough to outwit the devil. So I went over to that big old accordion case in the corner of the room. My dad and mom were practicing a song in the next room. We were in a revival in Michigan, and they didn't know what we were doing. They were in the other room with a guitar and accordion practicing a song for the service, and that accordion case was lying there open. So I got in the accordion case, and I laid down on my side, and I put my knees against my chin. I can't do that now, but I was able to then. It'd take a piano case today for me. And I put my knees against my chin. And Brenda started bringing that lid down on that accordion case. And it came down on my shoulder. And it was just a couple of inches of it still open. And she couldn't close it. I said, come on, you can do it. She said, me can't get it closed. Me can't get it closed. She couldn't talk pain, you know. She was just 2 years old. And I said, come on, Brenda, you can do it. I don't know why I was begging her to lock me up in that thing. And I finally said, well, climb up on top of it. Maybe it'll close. She said, me'll do that. She climbed up on top of that accordion case with me inside it. And I saw all the light disappear as that lid came down. And then I heard it go snap, snap. It's one of those accordions where you have to push these buttons sideways to open it. And any pressure holding it, you know, pushing against it would make it very difficult, especially for a two-year-old girl. And I heard it go snap, snap. And here I was. I couldn't move a toe or a finger. Knees pressed against my chin and just like a chicken in an egg. I said, open it! And I heard her say, me think. Open it! Me tight! Open it! Then I was in trouble. I still have sleepless nights once in a while. I was in trouble. I was in a tight spot, closed in darkness, unable to move. You talk about bondage. That was bondage. That's the worst bondage I've ever experienced in my life. To be so helpless. In a box, fastened in, with a little two-year-old girl being the only hope I've got to live. And her out there, faintly I could hear her say, me can't get it open, 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 she can't get it open. What am I going to do? Ain't nothing I could do. Squeezed up. Just like some of you are tonight because you're afraid. to let anybody open up this box you're in. But I promise you, it's a lot better outside that old sin box, because there's nothing but bondage and darkness and helplessness in there. If you will let the one who can open up a way for you open up this way, you're going to find out you can actually breathe here. You can actually find freedom here. You can actually find a reason to live over here. Praise God. I did all I knew to do at 6 years of age, and that is just scream as loud as I can. And I promise you, I can't scream that loud now. But inside that accordion case, when there is no hope for me except somebody hear my call, somebody's got to hear my voice, I let out a scream, and it was the most desperate scream of my life. It took all the strength I had, but it didn't matter if I stripped my voice or what happened. I screamed, and it was an airtight accordion case. I could hardly breathe, but I put everything I had into that scream. And when I screamed, my daddy heard me. My daddy heard me. Let me tell you, sinner friend, if you're in bondage, if you don't know what to do, if you're in trouble, don't be afraid to put everything you've got into your scream. Cry out to the Lord with everything you got. I want to tell you, when Peter was under that water, he wasn't saying, "Lord, save me, please." He wasn't saying, "Oh God, if you will, I know you can save my soul." He wasn't saying, "I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart." He wasn't saying, "I believe you're going to die and you're going to rise." No, he was saying, "Help me!" If you were asleep, you're awake now. What time is it? Okay, it's about time to quit. My daddy heard my voice. He wouldn't have heard me. They were in another room with the door closed. And I was inside an airtight accordion case with the door closed. And my little sister Brenda was just trying to frantically open it. She didn't know how. Me taint did it open. My dad came running out of that room because he heard the cry of his child. I'm going to tell you what, your Heavenly Father knows where you are right now. And when you cry out to Him with everything you got, He's going to rescue you. I promise you on the holy word of God, there's not one soul anywhere in this world, if you cry out to Him, you will find that He can deliver you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came running through that room. My dad ran right past us. He saw Brenda over there in the corner by that accordion case. He heard her mumbling something. He didn't know what she was saying, but he knew he heard the cry of his child. He came rushing through that room, ran down the stairs and out and looked up and down the street on the sidewalk, and he didn't see me, so he ran back up the stairs, and he looked at Brenda, and she was over in the corner saying, "Me taint did it open. Me taint did it open. Me taint did it open. Me taint did it open." He walked over and he did what that little girl couldn't do. Put his big hand on top of that accordion case and took his other hand and unfastened it and opened it up. And he reached down and he picked me up because I was so weak I couldn't even get out. Carried me over and laid me down to rest on the couch. That's just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Everybody say, "He really does care for me. He really does care for me." If you're hurting, if you're sick, if you don't know which way to go, amen, don't be afraid to call out to Him with everything that's in you. It's not the volume of your voice, but it's the sincerity of your heart. He wants to hear you from your very heart say, "I need you. I want you." And along with that, try to praise Him just a little bit. Hallelujah. Let us stand together. Praise Him. Amen. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Hallelujah. Just praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why praise Him? Because it's good for you. Hallelujah. You know, He knows your need before you ask. And you may ask, well, why should we even pray? Because when you pray, you communicate with God from your heart. And when you're doing that, you're submitting your will to the will of God. And you're doing that which seems silly to a lot of people. But it's God's way of getting you to bring forth a little effort to talk to the one that you really do believe in. Praying doesn't do anything for God, but it does a whole lot for the one who's doing the praying. It doesn't change God, but it can sure change you. Hallelujah. When He hears you saying, Lord, help me, He knows. He knows who you are. He knows that voice. And He's ready to reach down that hand and lift you up and give you comfort and give you hope again and make it possible that you don't have to go through some silly ritual or some Bible reading and just memorize some scriptures or maybe just take somebody else's word for it. You can have an experience for yourself of feeling like somebody has opened up a box and set you free. Hallelujah. When we talk about the Holy Spirit in this place, we're not talking about another man in a Godhead. We're talking about an experience of Jesus Christ actually coming into your life and kicking the devil out. Kicking out the darkness, taking out the bad and replacing it with the good things of God. Hallelujah. Anything that's bad for you, He's against that, but He loves you. Anything that's been going against God, He's able to defeat that, but He wants you to stay with Him. He wants to rescue from that which has been causing you to feel guilty and ashamed. God is not against you because you've done wrong, but He's against the wrong you've done. He's on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Why don't you kick the devil out yourself and cry out to Him and say, Lord, I want You with all my heart tonight. Hallelujah. Oh. So tonight, I would just like to ask boldly, if you will, if you need a touch of God tonight, if you need something that only God can do, no man can do it for you, find yourself right up here in this space that we provided. Let's just come up here and stand. No tricks played here. We're not in show business. It might look like we are, but we're not. We're not in show business. We're just here to touch God. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost, or if you prefer, Holy Spirit. It's all the same thing, but it's holy. He will fill you with miracles that man cannot fill you with, and life has not been able to give to you. You can't get this from the world. The world even makes fun of this, but it's real. It's more real than anything out there in the world. Praise God. This is the real stuff we're talking about here tonight. A real experience of Christ in you. When He says, I will be closer than your closest friend, closer than a brother, He's talking about, I will be inside of you. Hallelujah. I'll be in your thoughts. I'll be in your actions. I'll be in your motives. I'll give you the desires of your heart. I will cause you to have desires that you cannot have without my help. But when you get the godly desires, everything He gives you makes all of life better for you. Causes life to have meaning now. Praise God. See, people only interpret in the way they understand. He'll give me the desire of my heart. So they ask Him for a new Cadillac and they don't get it. Say, what happened? He didn't come around. Hey, that wasn't what He said. He will change your desires. Your heart's desire right now might be to have $1 million, but if you only knew how much Jesus loved you and you would start praising Him and calling to Him, your desire will start wanting more of Him than anything else in the whole wide world. And then He will give you that desire of your heart. He will give you all of Himself. Then if you need a Cadillac, He'll give you the wisdom to go out and get you a job and make some money and pay for the thing. But just because you got a new Cadillac, don't quit going to church. Praise God. Don't spend all the money you're going to give the church on the Cadillac either. Support the house of God. Put God first and enjoy your Cadillac. And let the church roll on. If you need something from God tonight, raise your hands, raise your voices in your own way. From your own box where you're closed in, if you are, cry out to Him. Let Him set you free tonight. Let Him set you free. Let Him set you free. If you're out there on the internet somewhere in the world and you've heard this message tonight and you want to be set free, we have known many people who have found God while sitting at their computers during these services. You just right now, no matter who's in your house or wherever you are, stop everything else you're doing and just start worshiping God. God will set you free. I don't care where you are, God will set you free. He's in China right now just the same as He's in Connecticut. And God is there with you no matter where you're watching. If you're in Japan, God is right there. The same God we're talking about right now. Jesus is right where you are. As we lift our voices, let us let God do the impossible in our lives. Let God do the impossible. Let Him change you. Let Him instantly change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him change your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Step out of that boat. Step into the impossibilities. Let God bring you to Himself. When Peter said, "Lord, save me," Jesus reached down and picked him back up, put him on the water again. Hallelujah. You might have made mistakes. You might have gone down. Cry out to the Lord. They that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. That's what the Master said when they were afraid and they were in doubt, wondering what's going on here. It is I. Be not afraid. Praise God. Don't be afraid of Jesus. If there's anything to be afraid of, it's the thing that's been in your life all this time. It's like carrying a rattlesnake around in your hand. Sooner or later, he's going to bite you. Trade that rattlesnake for the peace of God. Amen. For the healer. For the miracle worker. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't leave this place till you get what it is that you really want. You don't have to leave here empty tonight. Praise God. You don't have to leave here empty. You don't have to leave here empty. Everything that you need is in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Call on Him with your voices. Raise your voices to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord, Jesus. Things we cannot do ourselves. And what we can do in obedience to God, we can praise Him. We can ask Him. We can seek Him. We can knock at His door. He says, when you seek, you find me. Amen. When you knock, the door opens. Praise God. When you ask, you shall receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So something is for us to do. Ask Him if there's something you want to ask Him. Don't be afraid to say, "Lord, I need your help right now." Praise God. Don't be afraid to cry out if you're really desperate tonight. Hey, you're not out of order. I screamed while I was preaching tonight. You're not out of order to scream if you want to. You're not out of order just to cry with everything you got. I need you, Jesus. Praise God. And the true and living God is here to set you free. He's here to set you free. Hallelujah. He's here to set you free. Hallelujah. He's here to set you free. Thank you, Jesus. He helps us to overcome things that we could not overcome without His help. So many things in life we've done over and over. And said, from now on, every year, you know, we make a New Year's resolution. Say, it's going to be different from now on. Only to fall right back, and actually sometimes it seems to get worse. We're never able to do what we really want to do. Talk about anything you want to. Dieting, you know. Hey, I've lost probably a total of 1,200 pounds in my life. Every time I go on a diet, I lose. And when it's all over with, I'm 5 pounds more than I was when I started that diet. I've lost a lot of weight. And I don't know how much weight I lost. How much have you lost? Praise God. Why don't you lose the weight of sin tonight? Let Jesus take it out of your life. Thank you, Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.